Forex Fridays, only on Money FM 89.3.
And today on Forex Fridays, we take a recap of the last full week of September, which was not bereft of excitement for currencies across the world. Changing developments on the U.S.-China trade front was accompanied by a ratcheting up of Brexit-related turmoil in British Parliament. And a surprising drop in industrial output in Singapore raised questions of a possible recession of the country bearing on the local currency. There's been so much happening over the last few days. We'll need some help to unpack all this news in the currency space. Luckily, we're joined today on Forex Fridays by FXTM's Han Tan, who's with us in the studio. Han, good afternoon, and thanks for visiting us from Kuala Lumpur today.
Oh, always a pleasure to be here, JP. Thanks so much.
So let's start off with this flight to safe havens. As we mentioned, there was that seesawing sentiment in the Forex space, with Trump first blasting China's trade policies, telling reporters the trade deal might be sooner than we think, and we saw the firming up of these U.S.-China trade talks on October 10, as we know now. So tell me, as a Forex analyst, how tiring has this week been for traders, especially those looking at safe havens like the yen and gold, for instance?
Right. I think we can safely say this is the new normal, right? Whereby, you know, investors have to stay vigilant over that shifting sands when it comes to U.S.-China trade tensions. You know, it's very nuanced, constantly developing. So they've got to keep an eye, not just on President Trump's Twitter feed, but also all the other headlines related to it, right? And so hence you have this de facto mode for investors whereby it's all about risk aversion right now. That's why we're seeing this supportive dollar environment. We are seeing a supportive environment for other safe haven currencies like the yen and the Swiss franc, and certainly gold remaining elevated above 1500.
So is the outlook still favoring a flight to safety while we deal with all of this uncertainty, Han, in your estimates?
Yeah, you know, because despite some signs or some green shoots of perhaps some goodwill, right, in terms of the global trade tensions, you know, we did see the US and Japan sign that limited trade deal. We have the US and China firming up a date for the next round of trade talks, like you mentioned, October 10th and 11th. But guess what? We have been here before, right? And then we have seen how just, you know, a few months ago, all of that unraveled very, very rapidly. So I think markets are being cautious, especially as we head into the fourth quarter of this year. And so that's why I think that supportive environment for safe haven assets, that's going to remain intact.
And indeed, heading into 2020, we're not absent, or we're not lacking in terms of uncertainty triggers. We have the U.S. election for one coming up. We've also got the possibility of interest rates still lowering, especially from the U.S. Fed, if they succumb to some of these pressures from markets and even Trump's Twitter feed to keep cutting rates. Does this set things up for a net weak outlook for the U.S. dollar, the dollar index, given these two factors and the possible uncertainty that the U.S. elections can bring?
Well, in my estimation, look, I think this strong dollar environment, that's going to remain intact. I mean, think about this, right, JP? We've already seen two Fed rate cuts this year. Markets have priced in another one, either October, either December, looking at the Fed funds futures, thank you, for this morning. They are pushing it back to December, right? So, you know, even with all that in mind, you've got a dollar index that is above 99, you know, even as we speak, year-to-date gains of over 3%. So this dollar strength narrative is very much fueled by the U.S. economy's outperformance compared to its major peers, right? I mean, granted, it's been slowing the first half of this year, but compared to the likes of Germany, U.K., Japan, it's still doing better, above 2% GDP growth, right? So, you know, but with that said, I think there is this remote risk as we enter the 2020 U.S. presidential elections, you know, that if the Trump administration then actively intervenes in the dollar, then we could see some limited weakness in the dollar, and the keyword there being limited. But again, that is not my base case.
We're still speaking to Han Tan, the analyst from FXTM, who's with us live in the studio today. The other currency, and I just want to shift our attention now to the British Isles, and we have seen the British pound also start to weaken. It seems that the narrative has changed now. There is a chance that that we might see a no-deal Brexit. However, there has been political uncertainty hitting the pound sterling. In fact, now trading about $1.22 per sterling, not looking, and the pound has been weakening very steadily also. What is the read from FXTM on where the pound is heading?
Right. So the key support level that we're looking at is 120. You know, that is, unless a no-deal Brexit then becomes likelier. So until that worst-case scenario, that no-deal Brexit can be fully ruled out, and our pound traders will have very little reason to send sterling higher. So it all comes down to this Brexit equation, right? And it looks like Prime Minister Boris Johnson, he's, well, he's, I guess the different channels by which he can push through his Brexit agenda, you know, those are dwindling fast. Now, we note that there is the Conservatives Party conference that's slated for next week. We'll see what new ideas he has. But right now, we are keeping an eye on the 120 support level for the pound with a bias to the downside from current levels, 123 or so.
Now, what about an election in the United Kingdom? Some folks think it's not a done deal. In fact, it could actually embolden some of the Brexiteers to actually push for a no-deal Brexit. How are Forex traders, or how are you guys at FXTM perhaps looking at this? A net positive or a net negative for the pound should an election happen in the United Kingdom?
Right. So if there's an election, we are seeing that as a negative for the pound, right? Because it then increases the likelihood of a no-deal Brexit. But again, then after that, it's what happens in Westminster, whether or not there's enough political will to really block that no-deal Brexit. So I think that's the sum that markets are looking at right now. And so again, to answer your question, if there's an election, that's seen to be weighing negatively on the pound.
All right. We're still speaking to Han Tan from FXTM today. Han, I wonder if you take a close, if you do spend some time looking at the currency over here in Singapore also. As we know, next month, we're expecting the Monetary Authority here to hold their policy meeting. There's been a bit of an easing party across most major central banks around the world. Do you think that they're going to follow suit? And what will the spell for the Singapore dollar, especially since we've seen some whispers of a potential recession in the third quarter? Many are still trying to stay optimistic about it. But again, how is this all playing out? Influencing at least the outlook from FXTM on the Singapore dollar, which is now trading at about 1.38 against the US.
Look, I must say that the Singapore dollar, you know, despite all the headwinds and the risks that you had highlighted earlier, you know, I must say that the Singapore dollar has been remarkably stable. You know, it's been trading around that 1.38 range that you mentioned there earlier. You know, and this is despite the external headwinds, the slowing global growth narrative, the easing bias, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So I think that speaks testament to not just the Singapore dollar's stability, but also reflective of the undercurrents in the economy here. Now, yes, we note the market expectations for some policy easing next month, but I think that policy bias then moving forward will be largely dependent on what happens on the global stage.
All right. So let's shift our attention now to a currency we don't spend as much time looking at, but might be garnering some attention moving forward. That's the Indian rupee. Mm. Now, last week we did hear that the Indian government's making an aggressive cut to corporate taxes from 30% to 22%. But this has also raised questions about how they're going to handle their fiscal deficits. We know India's a huge country. I'm sure that's also a very, very big budget that they'll have to fight as. These tax cuts might not make things easier on them. How will this all bear on India's economy moving forward and also on the rupee, which, as we know, currency is very sensitive to deficits, especially in consumer-driven economies like this.
Right. So I'll break this up into two parts, as the immediate term and then the longer term, right? So I think over the longer term, this tax cut should help support the Indian rupee. Now, we did see the immediate reaction whereby the rupee reacted positively to that announcement, I think gaining about 0.7% versus the dollar since the announcement.
So it actually strengthened when it was made.
Right. No, because there's this hope now, right? Right? You got both fiscal and monetary policy stimulus, both helping the help juice up the Indian economy, right? But then over the longer term, you know, you have to see whether or not this move, this tax cut, actually does produce the desired results, whether foreign companies actually come in, create those jobs, open up shop over there. And with that buoyancy or the widening of that tax base, then that can help offset some of the concerns that you spoke about, right? You know, perhaps the shortfall from tax collection.
I mean, but that's a big jump, though, down from 8%. Do you think they might be moving a little too fast there?
Well, again, keep in mind that the government has a goal to try and really grow this economy up to $5 trillion. Okay, that's an ambitious goal. Mm-hmm. So they're trying to basically trigger any kind of policy stimulus that they have right now in light of the headwinds that they're facing now. Right, mm-hmm. Not just externally, but internally, domestically as well, with the hopes of achieving that goal. And also, I think, markets are still kind of withholding judgment, at least for the medium to long term. But in our estimation, we think that that should be a net positive.
All right, Han. Now, before we let you go, we know we're coming into the fourth quarter. This has been a rather interesting, if not topsy-turvy or dizzying, month of September. Mm. Talk to us about what currency pairs you're looking out for, given there's still so much that's not done in terms of all these things in the geopolitical front, some of the things that the forex space is watching. Give us a taste of what pairs you're actually watching out for in the last 3 months of the year.
Right. So given that I'm the Asia-based analyst, sure, for FXTM, we got to look at dollar yuan here, because the U.S.-China trade conflict, that is still the primary driver over market sentiment now. And we know that many regional currencies draw its support from how the yuan is performing there, given the high correlation between some of these currencies in the region versus the yuan. So stable yuan should translate into some measure of support for Asian currencies. That's what we're hoping to see into the final quarter of this year. And of course, we've got to look at cable dollar, a pound dollar, because look, if we see that no deal Brexit, or at least if we see that becoming likelier, that could open up again that 120 floor for cable.
Anything in the ASEAN space you're looking out for? Just if there's one currency in the ASEAN space you're watching out for, what is it?
Well, the Thai baht has been the sexy currency so far, right? The outperformer, over 6% year to date. Gains against the US dollar. So we're going to see, you know, whether or not the Bank of Thailand, who actually stood pat earlier this week, will actually join that easing party. And if so, what happens to the Thai baht? But in our estimation, we still think that the Thai baht can hang on to most of its year-to-date gains.
And we'll see if the baht ends the year with a bang. Han Tan from FXTM, thank you so much for joining us today on Forex Fridays.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. Or download the SPH radio app, available on Google Play or the App Store.
Thank you for your time, sir.